With a Planet Fitness Black Card, you don't just get a great workout, you get a great perk out. Because your membership is packed with perks. Join for just $1 down and $24.99 a month.
Join the judgment-free zone today. Deal ends Thursday, August 10th.
See Home Club for details. With the Planet Fitness Black Card, you don't just get a great workout, you get a great perk out. Because your membership is packed with perks. For $1 down and $24.99 a month, you'll get perks like access to any of our 2,400 clean and spacious locations. Bring your friend anytime and both work out with tons of equipment that'll give you that big fitness energy. Relax in the Black Card Spa and more. Work out and perk out with the PF Black Card. Join for just $1 down and $24.99 a month.
Join the judgment-free zone today. Deal ends Thursday, August 10th.
See Home Club for details.
This is a special episode of What's Been Better called Breakthroughs. Breakthroughs are bonus episodes where Sylvia and I have conversations with individuals about their journey of overcoming and discovering their purpose.
All right. And if you've been here before, you know we cuss. And if you're new here, please get used to it. Today, we are joined by Hope Williams. She's a licensed professional counselor here in the Atlanta metro area and the founder of The Smile Project. Welcome, Hope.
Thank you.
Yes. Hey, Hope. Welcome.
Thank you so much.
Well, let's, Laura, you want to start like normal or you want to change things up?
Well, no, we'll start like normal.
Okay.
So Hope, I want to just kind of bring you into what we do here. So what Sylvia and I do when we start our start off our episode, we talk about what's been better with us, right? And it comes from, as a therapist, I'm a solution-focused therapist. And so I speak about what the client has been doing that's better, as opposed to talking about and rehearsing problems, right? So, and it only starts in the second session, not the first one. So this is the first one for you, but I'm just going to ask you, in your life, what's been better? And it could have been from yesterday.
Yeah.
You could have been like, oh, life has been better. So what's been better with you?
Okay, so it's interesting that you referenced yesterday. So as Sylvia said, I'm a therapist. I'm an LPC in Georgia, and I work as a residential therapist at a psychiatric facility for children and teenagers in Atlanta. And so as part of my job here, I work with kids who have really intense emotions that typically result in some effort to escape in some way. And so exposure therapy and exposure to emotion has been a really, really beneficial technique that's been used. And it's been one that I have run from, like, I don't know what, like I've been trained, but I just have not wanted to do it. I can pick up on this is a kid who could really benefit from this, and I still won't do it. And so yesterday, I agreed to go through exposure therapy myself. And so I met with one of the lead clinicians here and literally yesterday did exposure therapy to sadness and guilt. And so I can honestly say that's what's been better, is that I was able to sit with and experience the emotions in a way that was helpful for me and something that I needed more than I realized, in addition to helping me get prepared to do this with my kids. So that's what's been.
That is huge.
I love that. Wow.
So now I have a question.
Okay.
Tell me, you doing that, what difference did that make to you? What did you notice after doing that?
I felt lighter. Like there's been some stuff that I've been dealing with at home that, so I've got background on, like a little introduction on me. I've got three kids. I've got an 8-year-old, a 2-year-old, and a 6-month-old. And so with that combination of ages, it's been like terrible. And I felt a lot of guilt. I have been feeling a lot of guilt and a lot of sadness around my role as a mom. And that is what came up for me in that exposure. And so that was like before we got started. Well, when she first asked me about doing it, part of her question to me was, do you trust me enough to do this? And so I do trust her. And I feel like she is genuinely a very concerned person and very, she's a very validating person. She's somebody I feel very comfortable with. And so when she asks, how are you doing or how are things going? It always comes across as though she wants she's expecting and prepared for a genuine answer. And so if I was going to do this, she's someone who I could have early on said, this is somebody I would sit through this with. Like I can trust her in this way. She's also a mom, and she and I were pregnant at the same time with the 2-year-olds. And so she also has an older daughter. So just as far as understanding, like that has always been there. And so it created a comfort, a level of comfort that I think was really necessary to be able to do that kind of work. And it may have been 20 minutes, but it was like 20 minutes that I really needed.
That's awesome. I'm so glad you trusted yourself to do that.
Yeah.
And I have another just quick question. Okay. How, especially since you hadn't been doing this, you hadn't chosen to do it, it's like there maybe have been some resistance. How did you do it, even though you were reluctant to doing it?
So I've been reluctant to do it with the kids that I work with. I've been able to recognize, like I can go to her and say, this is a kid who needs exposure to this emotion. Like I can work with the kid, and I've been willing to work with the kids to get them to acknowledge the emotion that they have trouble sitting with, that causes them to run, or that causes them to cut, or that causes them to attempt suicide. Like I can sit with them long enough to figure out what that emotion is, but then I cut off when it's time to sit with the emotion and for them to be exposed to the emotion. And so that was her reason for suggesting that I go through it, so that I knew what it would feel like. And I think a part of her probably knew that I needed to know that it would work. Mm-hmm. And so going back to your first question, my response was that I felt lighter, but I also had been able to, in sitting with the emotion, because part of that process is sitting with the emotion and not judging yourself for experiencing the emotion. And so I think part of what happened for me was that I was able to forgive myself for even having those thoughts and having those emotions that I felt so guilty about. And so I think it's a very, very powerful tool, and one that I have made a commitment now not to run from. So I've got my kids in mind for next week who I'm going to start doing this with, because again, I've been familiar with it. I've just I'm not ready. So now I've got to move beyond that, because I do have a desire to be able to help these kids. And like, this is something that can really be helpful.
Right. So the fact that you chose to do this, you did it because you wanted to help the children, or you just, when your colleague wanted you or asked you to do it, it was just there to do it?
No, it was when she and I had the conversation, what she said, like I said, now I've been trained on this. It's not something that I'm just kind of bouncing into. I've had training, but for whatever reason, I've still shied away from doing it. And so when I went to her, and I had one kid in particular where I brought up again, because I can help them pull the emotion. Like we can identify the emotion that's problematic. So when I went to her and I said, hey, I've got this child who needs to be exposed to this emotion, what do I need to do next? She said, well, I can either tell you how to do it, or you can go through it. And so the choice was mine.
Right.
And so I felt like, given realistically, I've already been trained on it. So obviously sitting through instruction isn't making me feel better about this.
Right.
So that's why I said, let me go through it so that I can try this in a different way.
It gave you an idea of what the kid would go through if they did it as well.
Yeah.
Like once you do it with them. So it kind of gave you better practice of like maybe what to expect and I guess just an overall idea of like, okay, this is what this looks like when this happens.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
That's awesome. And it's awesome that you experienced it too. So you know what it feels like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's powerful.
Yes. That's awesome. Sylvia, what's been better with you?
Okay. So, you know, I always talk about my garden.
Yes.
But you know how like doubly excited I am about my mom's garden.
Yes.
So she's finally getting like produce, like fruit, like things are coming. And
that's awesome.
The joy of hearing her say, yeah, I had to jump out of bed and run and check on my plants and see how they're doing. And like, this is everything I always wanted. I love it. So I think it's beautiful, first of all, to share that with her. Mm-hmm. Because it's just a thing that she and I share.
Yes.
And being one of three, you know, you only get so much time with the parent, or you only have so mm-hmm. much connection with them. So me having my thing with her is changing the dynamics. And it's just exciting. It's so exciting for her to see the fruits of her labor, literally.
That is
she was unsure about, that she was like, I don't know. It's taking forever. It's not happening. It's not working. And wanting to tap out, and now seeing it working has been perfect. So
now what fruit does she have, or vegetables does she have?
She got zucchini yesterday. The flowers started opening up, and it scared her because she was like, what did I do? How do I do? And I was like, that's it. There they are. So she had been getting, like, her bell peppers were coming, and oh my God. The woman, I said, Mom, don't put a bunch of seeds. It only takes one. She dropped like 30 onion seeds because they're so tiny. Basically in a clump.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, oh, they're not coming. They're not coming. It's not working. And then they started sprouting and I could see how close they were. And then she was like, well, I'm not going to touch them. And I'm like, you need to touch them. You have to separate them. So yesterday she finally separated them and she was like, so there were 30. And I was like, and this is why I told you to only do one seed. And she's like, I don't think I did that many. And I was like, Mom, obviously, because they're not going to replicate. This is you. So, yeah, still working on it. Only takes one seed with her.
I'm like that with her. I like that because I dropped about 4 or 5 seeds in one little.
Oh, my goodness.
That one
in
little
your
hole.
Little pods.
Yes.
Lord. Your pods are but this big. They're so tiny.
I know. So I was like, one of them has to grow.
You cannot waste seeds. We might need those later down the road.
Okay.
Who knows what's going
to
happen?
That. Okay.
Yes. One seed.
I'm like that. I'm totally like your mom in that way.
Oh, my goodness. Well, but yeah, that's what's been better is sharing that with my mom. So.
That's awesome. That's really cool. That is awesome.
Yep. Yeah. So what's been better for you, Lori?
Well, I feel better. I think for the, I don't know if I told you, but for the past 3 weeks, and this is the end of the third week, Tommy and I have been working out. Mm-hmm. And so we work out Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And it's not a workout like a boot camp workout. We do a little bit of calisthenics, like jumping jacks and touching your toes kind of thing. And then we go walking for about 2.5 to 3 miles. And so now we're up to like 3.5 miles. And,
oh, wow.
And I think we're going to cap it at 5.
Okay.
So we'll just work up to 5. But I know my body mm-hmm. and I could get overwhelmed and maybe like start to feel sick, especially with the weather being crazy. Mm-hmm. Because the first mm-hmm. time we went out there, it was like 18 degrees, you know, when it was cold.
No, ma'am.
Like that. But, but just on today is, yes, yeah, the end of the week. But the other day, I think it was Wednesday, I felt like I was coming down with a cold. And
oh,
I was
no.
like, oh, no, because I have this to do. I have that. I got to work. I want to keep working out. Like, and so, you know, I took my vitamin C and big mm-hmm. shout out to oil of oregano.
Yes.
That is the most hideous shit ever.
It's disgusting.
But let me tell you. And I was like, oh, do I have anything in the house to, because it's droplets. It's not in a mm-hmm. capsule. So I got to drink that damn oil.
Yes. That's how I have it. And it is horrifying.
It is hideous. But it was right mid session with a client. So right after that client, I ran downstairs. I said, oh, I have some Dr. Pepper. Now I put some Dr. Pepper. I dropped those oil, like 2 droplets,
oh,
and I mixed
no.
it real quick. And then... And then I put another little shot of Dr. Pepper by itself. So I drank it real fast and then I took it, you know, a little shot after, like, you know, after watch kind of thing. And when I tell you, in my next session, I could feel my body feeling better, mm-hmm. like instantly. It's the craziest thing.
Yeah.
So shout out to oil of oregano, but I started to feel better. And so that's my, what's been better. I'm better. I don't feel like I'm about to come down with a cold. And it's crazy because as soon as you know that you're about to get a cold, do something about it.
Yes.
So it won't linger, because that next morning I felt like I had a slight sore throat, mm-hmm. but it would have been horrible. It would have been worse had right. I not done anything.
Right.
And so I sped that cold process up really fast, and mm-hmm. it's over. So, yeah. So I'm a lot better. I'm going to work out after I, after this podcast, and we're going to be good to go.
Okay. I saw somebody on TikTok making their own oil of oregano the other day, and I was like, okay, how much oregano am I growing next year? I already started like calculating in my head. I could just stop going to the store and buying. I'm always looking for something to stop going to the store for.
That's
if I can
smart.
Grow it, yeah. I will do it. So yeah. I was like, how many square feet of space could I give up for more oregano? So, because I got to think about
oil?
The pizza. Oh, it's just olive oil. It's just a certain kind of olive oil.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But yeah, I was thinking, okay, I got to think about the pizza garden first. How much space can I give up for extra oregano? So,
yeah. So, well, Miss Hope, I'm going to let you start, Sylvia, because
okay.
you and Hope are very acquainted. And then I'm just going to jump in.
Yeah. Hope and I met in December for mm-hmm. one of her programs. And Hope, will you tell everybody about Smile Project? And let me just preface this with thank you. Thank you for creating something that I know as a child who lost a parent. I lost my parent in high school. I can't imagine you losing them earlier. Thank you for creating something that I know would have been so helpful to me even now as an adult, because I see that it's something that is just so needed, especially for kids of color. And yeah, just thank you. Thank you. But will you tell everybody about Smile Project?
Yes. And I appreciate that. Smile Project is an organization that I started in 2016. And SMILE is an acronym for Significant Moments Impact Lives Eternally. And so it started as a counseling practice, outpatient counseling practice, in 2016, and then in 2020 is when I developed it into a nonprofit organization in order to continue with the programs that had already been in place. And so my goal with this organization is to equip, empower, and educate in different ways as we also connect communities based on what's needed. And so when I first got started with even the thought of Smile Project, it was with children who had lost a parent. That's who I had in mind. My mom died when I was 6 years old from cancer. And my dad raised me. Like, my parents were married. My mom died and I stayed with my dad. And I realized that that's not the case for everybody. And so even from that, it's just like, yes, I was young, and I'm realizing now that my life could have been a whole lot different. And so it's with grieving kids in mind that Smile Project was developed. And so now it's morphed into more than just this population, but in the programs that I do, I still keep these specific kids in mind. So the program that Sylvia was part of is the Holiday Angel Tree. And this is a holiday party that is for children who have lost a parent. Like I said, I realized that my story is a lot different than many other kids and families, in that I still had a parent. I still had my person. I still had someone who I knew loved me and was going to be there for me regardless. Again, that's not the case for everyone. And so with this program, with this, the Holiday Angel Tree, it's it's a party. Like, we get together and it's a time for the kids and the families to just have a good time. The holidays can be difficult when there's grief involved. And so it's not anything that's based on situation other than the kids have lost a parent. It could be that they are being raised by the surviving parent. Some of the kids are being raised by a grandparent. Some are being raised by an aunt or an uncle. That's the only thing that brings this group together, is that they've lost a parent. There's no focus on financial eligibility or anything like that. All that I'm looking for is making sure that we are touching the lives of kids who are missing a parent during the holidays. And so this year was the largest one that we've done. There were 28 kids signed up. And so part of what happens when they sign up is that they submit a list of what they want and what they need. They get to provide three things that they want, three things that they need. And then there's some just absolutely wonderful people in the community and in my personal life, a lot of times, who make the commitment and go all out for these kids. And so they show up and they get their gifts. And this year we did cookies. They baked holiday cookies at Young Chefs Academy in Sandy Springs. And so they were able to just have a good time and just be there with other people who they knew without us talking about it. Like, there doesn't have to be a whole lot of conversation about it. I just want them to be able to look around and know it's not just me. Because one of the things that I can say is that I didn't talk about my mom's death until I was like college age and older. That's a long time to go feeling like this is something that's off limits. Like, I didn't feel comfortable talking about it. Mm-hmm. And recently I was talking to my dad and just kind of like asking him, as an adult still processing what this means for me, asking him, like, who was my person when it first happened? If there was mm-hmm. a time when I wanted to talk to somebody about her, who was that safe person for me? Who was that person that was going to be able to sit with me as a 6-year-old and be okay doing that? And he said, I really don't know who that would have been. And so for me, that made it make sense that I didn't talk about it, because, like, who was comfortable?
There was no one.
So Smile Project came from that space. It came from, actually, when I went back to school for counseling, it was right after my grandmother had died. And my bachelor's degree is in business marketing, so counseling was a complete switch for me. But when my grandmother died, my niece was around 6 or 7. And so when she died, that was my first experience with the loss of a close person since my mom. So I had gone all through life up until 2010 and hadn't lost anybody else. And so to see my niece at the age that she was and experience grief in a way that I could understand, I said, this doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense that there are kids who are that size. There are people who are this size, this age, experiencing grief, and adults have to go on and do what adults have to do, and they are left to kind of fend for themselves. And so that's how the organization came to be. I completely lost it. My husband came to my job to let me know that my grandmother had died. I lost it. My boss said, go home. I don't want you to come tomorrow. You go take care of you. And part of me taking care of me ended up me being on campus the next day, applying for graduate school for counseling. And so here we are. So
I have a few questions for you. First, with the Angel Project, how do children know? How do you get the word out?
It's word of mouth. So when I usually start reaching out in October to the kids and the families who have previously participated, I reach out and see if they are wanting to come back. And it's open for kids who are in grade school and younger. So the youngest, she's like our little baby. So she came in, her mom had died, I think in August of the year that she was born. Like, she was born and her mom died within days. So she came, she was only a few months old. So she's been back every year. And so I'm saying that to say, like, babies can come in all the way through 12th grade. And so it's word of mouth. Well, as far as like the kids who have participated before are invited to come back. And then also the word has kind of started to spread just in the community. And so people who have participated before, families who have participated before, have now invited more families to come. And then also people who are in my circle and know about it also are able to invite people. So if there doesn't have to be an immediate connection to me. Just if somebody who I have not been able to reach out to or touch directly finds out about it and wants to come in, they can always email me or call, and I will provide the information once the event is scheduled.
Okay, that's awesome. That's awesome. And when you said that your grandmother passed and you decided to go to grad school, mm-hmm. like what clicked? Because you said the next day you went to enroll in grad school. What was there for you?
I had been doing some volunteer work. I had, leading up to her death, I had kind of been feeling as though I was working, but not working where I was supposed to be, putting my effort, putting my energy. And so that had been something that I was struggling with. It wasn't like a snap decision where, oh, she died, I'm going to school to be a counselor. It wasn't like that. It was, I had been doing some volunteer work for a camp that does camp sessions for kids who have lost a parent. And I think in that camp, it was a parent or a caregiver, primary caregiver. So I was doing that kind of volunteer work for a while, and I just didn't feel like it was enough. It wasn't enough. It wasn't enough for what I needed to be doing. And so,
right,
that was kind of the shifting point for me, was like that connection with seeing my niece and knowing that was the case, and like all of what had been happening before her death. It was that was kind of my, okay, this is time.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
How did you, will you talk more about the other programs that you guys offer? I know you do a lot around empowerment.
Yeah. So I'm going to mentally run through the calendar.
So okay.
The Angel Tree happens in December. It's the Saturday before Christmas, or the Saturday leading up to Christmas, as long as it's not Christmas Eve. So I try to give about a week, just to give you a window of time or an idea of time. I try to put like a week between the event and Christmas Day. So there's that. And then in May is the tea. And this is it's a tea in celebration of girls and the women they love, wearing and sharing our pearls. This happens the Saturday of Mother's Day weekend. And this was important for me time-wise because Mother's Day had always been so difficult. And it was a time, it's for me, always had been a time where I really didn't care if I got out of the bed or not. My dad, growing up, my dad was a pastor, so church is where I was, but Mother's Day, church wasn't where I needed to be. It was just that bad. And like, just the thoughts of why me, why did this have to happen to my family? I need my mom. Why can't I have my mom? Like, it just was too much. And so even after I became a mom, Mother's Day was still hard. And it was very obvious that I needed to do something to change that narrative for myself. And so what I did was I started doing this tea in order to celebrate relationships in a way that's not specific for mothers and daughters. And so it's a celebration of the relationship shared among women and girls, regardless of the connection, so that we can celebrate, so that we can recognize the importance, again, going back to the acronym SMILE, the importance of these connections, these relationships, these moments that we're able to share together. And so we've had my aunt comes with me, my sister has come for all of the events. My mother-in-law, my sisters-in-law, like it's a celebration of relationships. And so like, it's so cool for me that my daughters are not able to just come and sit with me, but they can sit with their aunties. They can sit with them. Mm. They can sit with and share time and space with, and my stepmother has been there. So it's like, it's so important to be able to share space and recognize the significance, not just with mother-daughter, because for various reasons, everybody can't do that. And so for me, it's due to physical death. But for some people, mom is still living and the relationship is just not there. So Mother's Day may be difficult. Mm-hmm. And so it's not just looking at the celebration or putting emphasis on the time of year for people who Mother's Day is difficult for, but also for those people who have relationships that are worthy of celebrating and they want to be able to recognize these connections. And so part of, with the tea, part of what I do is the wearing and sharing our pearls part is in reference to how do we own the experiences that we've had, and then how do we share that wisdom with those around us? And so that's where the wearing and sharing of pearls comes in. And so there's also an activity that involves pearls, and it's been something different each time, but how do we share that? How do we connect in a different way versus just being, I mean, because we're going to be beautiful when we get together. So versus just being beautiful, how can we also make this a significant moment? How can we make this a time that has an impact? So that happens in May.
That's awesome.
And then Father's Day weekend is Tiaras and Ties. And so this is a time where women and girls are able to, along the same lines, celebrate relationships with the men in their lives. And so last year was Top Golf. The year before that, it was a virtual cooking class, because that's when the pandemic was pretty hot. So there was a virtual cooking class with Chef Jameson Smallwood. He did an amazing job of leading the there were young girls and adult women who joined with fathers and other men in their lives. So it was super cool. And then the year before that, there was a virtual dance. And then the first year, we kicked it off with an in-person dance. And so that's,
that's so nice.
It's so cool. Like, it's just amazing and such an honor to be able to see people just come together. And so with that, there were grandfathers that have participated. There was one year when an uncle flew in from Michigan to bring his niece. Like, it's just been
really good
to be able to have that experience and create that experience so that the relationships can be honored and celebrated. So that's June. Then in October is Celebrating Girls of Color. And this is where we bring together girls of color for a day of activities that are designed to educate, inspire, and empower. And just speaking to and filling the cups of these girls in a way that they may not receive out in the world. And so we're instilling affirmations. We're teaching them how to affirm themselves and each other, so that when they go out into the world, they already have what they need in them, and there's not room for somebody else to put in with what doesn't belong there. And so this year, there were a lot of phenomenal women of color who spoke in different ways to the girls. They made jewelry, and they talked about how selecting the pieces that they used for their bracelets could be reflective of them as individuals, and the uniqueness of them also could be reflected in the pieces that they put on their bracelets. There was a STEM project where they were able to incorporate affirmations through STEM. They did, the older girls had a workshop where they focused on affirming themselves and just looking at how can we do this in different ways. We started the day with yoga in meditation, and we were outside at a park, and so they had their yoga mats, and they were able to just really be with themselves, and it was amazing to see. And so that happens every October, and then this year there's some more new programs that are coming up for this year. And so the first thing that's coming up is a brunch series that's going to be an extension of Celebrating Girls of Color. And so Inga Bailey is a good friend and very influential in different areas. And so she has an etiquette school, and we are partnering to do a brunch and etiquette series for girls K through 12 so that they can experience like how we have girlfriend brunches and we go out with our girlfriends. So our goal is to create a community for these girls, so that they can feel connected, so that they can go out and have brunch with their girls and learn some etiquette lessons. And where she's going to be focusing on some different topics, not just like how do you hold your fork, but also What does healthy communication look like? What do you look for in friendships? How do you gauge the status or the safety in your relationship? So hitting on some pretty deep topics it still falls under that umbrella of etiquette that she's able to speak to. And Inga has been heavily involved with many of the programs in the past. And so she's familiar with the program and the girls are familiar with her, which I think is gonna be a huge benefit. But she's just as passionate about influencing and impacting our girls and preparing them for success. So I'm really, really excited about that. And what else is coming up? We're gonna do a mindfulness hike in March. And then in August, a back to school meditation to get the kids geared up and prepared to be focused in a different way and like equip them with some tools and some skills that can help academic success. So I'm looking forward to those things this year.
Girl. Oh my God. I love it. It's
right.
Woo. I mean, I'm just sitting over here like bubbling up, you know, mm-hmm. and my heart is so happy to hear this because it's like one person can't do it all. Right?
Please say that again.
And you know, I'm over here in my bubble, like, what more can I do? What more can I do? Mm-hmm. And then to hear you speak about this, it just like enlightens me, man. It just and so my question to you is, you have all these awesome ideas and you put them into action. You mentioned one person who's helping you. Who else spearheads this with you? Or are you just doing this alone?
So I am not. It is me. And I'm not as alone as I was in the beginning, which I'm very grateful for. So I have a friend who is working closely with me from many of the programs. And every time we talk, when we're talking about this stuff, it's like her immediate response is, what do you need? How can I help? And so that's been a huge relief, not just for holding me accountable to making sure that I'm not just having these ideas in my mind, but that we're actually moving on them. We've got a team of ambassadors who are in place in order to help with planning and programs, programming and volunteering on the day of everything and all of that. But there's always room for more.
Okay. Because I just thought about how I could see myself and my daughters and my mom and my sister and my soon-to-be in-laws at your tea. Mm-hmm. And so, it's the tea and the... what was the other thing right after the tea? Are they together?
No. So
not the Tierra, but the
Girls of Color, Celebrating Girls of Color.
I think you mentioned it right after the tea.
So it may be Mother's Day. Mm-hmm. And are you talking about the etiquette thing?
Yeah.
Oh, the brunch.
The etiquette.
The brunch.
So the brunch is new. The first one is coming up in February. And mm-hmm. then I think we set it for every other month. There's four. So they're spread out, but the first one is definitely in February. And so the best thing to do for anybody who's interested in getting involved or staying up to date on what's going on is subscribe to the website so that you'll get the newsletters with the announcements for new programs. You'll get the dates and all of that of any programs that are coming up. But I would love to see you at the tea with your family. And so I actually have a call today with the venue to get started with confirming details for this year. So mm-hmm. that, like I said, is Mother's Day weekend. That's Saturday.
The event that I'm speaking of, I think is involved inside the tea. I think you might have.
We're sharing our pearls. Mm-hmm. That is part of the tea. That's part of the tea.
Okay.
And so the conversation happens. And normally what I like to do ahead of the tea is get some feedback, get some videos from women and girls where they are sharing these pearls and sharing the knowledge. And so then we put that together and that's put that we watch it, we view it during the tea.
Okay. Oh, wow.
And that's awesome. You tell everybody your website?
Yes.
And we'll mention it again. throughout.
Okay. Yep. It's smileprojectempowers.com. And then we're also on Facebook and Instagram.
That is under lovely. Smile Project Empowers.
Instagram is smile.project.empowers. And then Facebook okay. is Smile Project Empowers.
Okay, good. Yeah. And we'll make sure to share that with everybody on our socials as well.
Okay.
So
Yeah.
So Hope, you mentioned that you didn't talk about the passing of your mother until college. Mm-hmm. Now, was that purposeful or is that something that just happened?
I think that it may have started off as something that just happened and then it became intentional.
Mm-hmm.
People who knew me knew my dad. They knew a lot about my dad. But they would have had to ask about my mom. And mm-hmm. I think that over time it got to be that I didn't want the pity or the sympathy right. or mm-hmm. the awkwardness when they say, "I'm sorry, I'm so sorry," and I didn't know what to feel.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Talking to my brother, so I'm the youngest of four. And my brother and my sister, my oldest brother and sister, they were close to adults when she died. No, actually, they were adults when she died. And so they have a lot more memories than I have. And so talking to my brother over the years, like one of the things that he's always said is that me and my mom were really, really close. And I think I felt bad for not being able to remember her. And so now as an adult, I realize that was likely a protection that kind of naturally happened because that was a huge loss. And then to hear how he talks about our relationship and our connection and like her, the way that she invested in me, I would imagine that was huge as a 6-year-old to lose that. And so, I think it definitely started off just kind of like being a natural response and then avoidance. After that, once I was able to make a decision about whether or not to talk about her, I just didn't know what to say because over time, my memory started to fade. And now I don't remember her. I just remember stories about her. And that's hard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's always interesting, too. You're so young when this person dies that other people have memories of you or of you with them. That you don't have. And so you kind of, I always had trouble, and I don't know if you have the same trouble of, is that how I felt? Or is that really what happened? Mm-hmm. Or, because you're not sure. You're not sure if you can trust that that's what happened because you don't remember. It's like someone's trying to help you fill in the gap, but you're not sure if you can trust that filling in of the gap. Yeah, I completely understand.
Yeah.
And especially the further away you get from that loss,
mm-hmm.
The same amount of time has passed or even double the amount of time or triple the amount of time, you're further and further away from those memories, that connection, those stories, mm-hmm. those feelings, any of it. So it's, yeah, I get what you mean about what do you do with that,
yeah.
with the information?
Yeah. And it's like, I know it was hard. Again, my siblings were adults and there's a big age gap between me and them. And so I think it was hard for them to accept that I didn't remember, which mm-hmm. made it hard for me to accept that I didn't remember and be okay.
Right.
Oh, wow.
And so in time, I've just come to understand that there's nothing, I can't change that. And so yeah, allowing mm-hmm. myself permission to not remember and be okay yeah. with it. And so that's been a huge, yeah. a huge thing for me as an adult. But again, just like, yeah, I think that I can trust him that we were close. And I think, and it's interesting because there's times when my dad will tell me like, "You really remind me of your mom when that happened." Or like, for instance, with the tea last year, one of the biggest compliments that I got that day was that he saw my mom and me. And so it's I'm still able to feel a connection, even though I'm not connected, like I'm not connected, right? Like even
right.
It means so much to me to be able to know that like she's still showing up through me. Yeah, it's been an interesting journey.
I can imagine. When you see pictures of her, does it jog any memories of you of her? Okay. And I'm curious to know, and I'm just thinking right now that that experience could have been so traumatic that maybe there was a blockage there. The other thing is, I'm curious to know what it was like growing up with dad raising you. Because was it just you at that stage, or was there anybody like 2 years, 3 years above you, or was it just you and dad?
Just me and dad. So I have my sister who's, I'm saying right above me, but next is there's 10 years difference there, and then 17 years between me and my brother, and 18 between me and my oldest sister. So
by
the time my mom died, it was just like, as a result, it was just me and dad until my dad got remarried. And so like, yeah, I'm definitely, I don't want to say daddy's girl as in attached to my dad, but I'm attached to my dad. Like his influence is so strong in my life because he poured a lot into me, and like he showed up and he really, he took his role seriously. And so I'll never forget. I was a freshman in college, and my, a girl in my dorm, like her tire was flat and she didn't know what to do about it. I said, I got you. Because my dad had made me change a tire that was not flat so that he could feel comfortable knowing that if I had an issue,
look at that.
What to do.
He prepared you.
He prepared me in the weirdest ways. And so it was like, it didn't make sense to me as a girl growing up, but like he did what he knew to do. And so, so we joke about it now. We're able to joke about it now, but it was definitely so-and-so's parents aren't making her come home this early. Why do I have to come home this early? Or why can't I wear these jeans? Or what's wrong with these shorts? Or like the sitting in the stores together and I had to try on the clothes and make sure that the clothes were okay before the clothes would get purged. Like it was just, he had a different way of doing things. And now I find myself laughing because it's in me. And so like when I get shopping from my daughters, I'm just like, why are these shorts so short? Why do they
That is hilarious.
Exactly. We've come to have a relationship that I value and I cherish.
That's so beautiful. Awesome.
Well, this was a great conversation. Thank you so much for joining us today. Tell the people again where they can find the Smile Project, find you as a counselor or volunteer or become an ambassador.
Okay. So the website again is smileprojectempowers.com. And on that same, on the website, you can get information about counseling. You can also get information about subscribing to the website to get updates. There's a link for or a page that's dedicated to ambassadors, and you can submit your information there if you want to be a volunteer with the organization. And then also if you are wanting to serve on the board of directors, we're also open to increasing or growing our board. And so that's another great need. But if volunteering on a program by program basis, or if you've got a special talent or specific interest, then definitely reach out so that I know that you're out there and that you're interested and we can see how to get you involved.
Thank you so much, Hope.
I really appreciate y'all having me.
Come back anytime if there's something else you want to talk about or not so serious, you might have something funny to talk about.
And if something you want to promote, like the different brunches, or, you know, if something you're spearheading, or even about the Angel Project as it get ready, as it comes about, please come back and promote it.
Okay. Definitely will.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, everybody.
All right. Bye-bye. That's it for this week's show. I'm Lori Scott.
And I'm Sylvia Johnson. And you've been listening to What's Been Better.
A big thank you to Lagan Music, Inc. for providing our music. This show is edited and produced by us, with a little help from our family and friends. We love you all.
We want to hear what's been better for you. To be a guest on the show, send us an email to questions@whatsbeenbetter.com. Or you can find us on Instagram and TikTok at What's Been Better Podcast.
Thanks for listening.